Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
Amen. Are you ready for the word this morning? Are you ready? Yes. And I just want to just touch on this quickly just before we start my message, and I give you the title of my message. Do you love Jesus? That's what it's about. That's what's going to do it. That's what's going to make all the difference. Do we love Jesus? I've entitled my message this morning about being strong and courageous. And I think it's something that is really, really needed as the body of Christ, as God's children, God's family, that we got to be strong and courageous in this time. It's rough out there. It's rough. And it's not easy at times following Jesus. And we'll get to that as we go in into the Word. Strong and courageous. Are you strong? Are you courageous? Sure. Those two words will cost you a lot. It's easy to talk about it, but they are very costly. Cost you a lot. And God is speaking not just to one or two, or maybe you're at home. He's speaking to everybody, all of us. He's speaking to me about this. And I don't want this morning to be a feel-good sermon, that you feel nice for an hour. Oh, it was lekker, and you go home and everything's the same. Nothing's changed. It's like eating an energy bar. And I chew a lot of those when I'm cycling my bicycle. When I know that morning there's a lot of hills, I make sure that I eat my energy bars. But I tell you what, not 5 minutes after I've climbed all those hills, ek het nie meer krag nie. I've lost all my energy. And I don't want this morning to be like that. Just to be like a quick snack and an energy bar. I want God to touch you. I want God to speak to you through this word. And like I said earlier, just one word from Jesus, just one word from him can change your life. And even if you just get one small thing out of this message this morning, that you'd hold on to that. And that your life would be life-changing. Strong and courageous. We need to be strong and courageous when it comes to spreading God's word. We don't sit back anymore. We don't cower anymore. What's everybody going to think? I'm going to stand out. Yes. You're going to stand out. Because you're different, strong and courageous. The things of this world or this generation, we're following all those things. It's going to create, it's going to bring about a weakness in us and in you. We can't do that. So if we are finding it difficult to walk with Jesus now, if we are weak now, then what? It's getting tough out there. And I don't want to be doom and gloom. It's gonna get harder. This is serious. This is a serious message, and these are serious times. We can't go back and just look at previous times or just dig up a couple of things. I remember going to grab a couple of books and we go through them quickly and hoping that that's going to help me or give me the edge in this present time or in the future. It's not going to work. I've got to be, if I'm serious in my walk with Jesus, I've got to be walking the walk with him. Because it's different now. It really is. It's a time to serve the Lord, and it's a time to honor him. We can be talking, or we can be living. Both are very different. To talk and to live, they're very, very different words. I can talk a good talk, but maybe not live in what I'm talking. I just want to just give you a quick example. Before I get into that, I see a lot of you are looking at this picture on the board at the back, and I'll explain that a little later on at the end of my message. And the reason why I put it up as I started my message is, you know, we've heard that saying that a picture can tell a thousand words. That also, there's a sermon going on here, that also in that. That the Lord is ministering to you silently through that picture that's on behind me. So most of us, we drive cars. We've got a car in the garage. If I haven't, I can tell you, I can go in the garage, I can tell you all about it. I can tell you all about it. What happens when you let go of the clutch, and what happens when you put it into gear, and what's going to happen when you rev it to the end of the rev count and you let go of the clutch. How it needs to be driven. How to take care of it, how to turn to the left, how to turn to the right, how to stop and how to put the handbrake up on an incline. I can tell you how to do that. I can talk about it. Many things. But there's a difference when I engage it. And actually getting to this car and I drive it myself. I feel it and I experience it for myself. I'm engaging it. And things happen when I begin to do that. I'm not talking about it, but I'm in it and I'm engaging it. Last week, I just mentioned to you about praying, about being in the Word of God. We can play around, we can listen to many things, but are we seeking Jesus? The Scripture talks about feeding on him. We feed on him. We feed on him. We are spiritual beings, and we need to feed on Jesus. If you want to be strong, And if I want to be strong and courageous, I need to feed on him. Christianity, I'm sure many of you here this morning can attest to that. Christianity is not easy. Walking and following Jesus is not easy. It's not about going with the flow. That river is very wide. And it's the easiest thing just to jump in and to go with the flow. But it's a difficult thing to go against the flow. And God is calling us to be different and to walk against the flow. I'd just like to read something to you. It's from a friend of ours. They run a church in Pennsylvania, and Lenny actually saw that she posted this on her group, and I'd just like to read it for you before we carry on. The level of surrender, sacrifice, and stewardship is the level of God we experience. So many people are okay with being mediocre because it's cheap. It's easier. A deep relationship requires something from us, a price many are not willing to pay, a price that many are not willing to pay. Going against the stream. Another thing, it's not all about me or what I can get or how it benefits me. And we've seen it in the 30 or 40 years that we've been serving the Lord. When things don't go our way, or if I'm not getting what I want, I'm out of here. Just before Christmas, I don't know what shops Lenny went to, but I know the ladies are always in the shops. They're always shopping. Not money kidding. But anyway, Lenny went out just to get, she wanted to get some t-shirts for when we go away. For Bella. But anyway, Lenny came back and she said, "You cannot believe what's written on a lot of the t-shirts, the logos on all these t-shirts." I said to what? And a lot of the stuff that she saw was, "I'm the best thing ever. I can do it. Write your own rules." You can do anything you put your mind to. Believe in you. We are not like that. And it shouldn't be like that. We are different. Did you know that 95% of the time we are thinking about ourselves? Yeah, most of the time, we're thinking about ourselves. It's not about us, but it's about people that haven't met or heard about Jesus. Being strong and courageous, it's about being different. It means that I'm going to stick out like a sore thumb. You all know what a lighthouse looks like. It's a building, but it's very, very different. So if I pluck a lighthouse somewhere here in Modderfontein, you're going to drive past straight away, you're going to know that's a lighthouse because it's made differently and it's built differently. It's made that way so it can shine. It stands out. Are you standing out? Are you like that lighthouse? When you take that lighthouse and you put it in the work situation or even at the Flamingo Mall, are we blending in and becoming like all those other buildings? Or am I the lighthouse? It's built to be different. Let's go to Scripture, Luke 9, verse 23. Ivan, pick up your cross and follow me. Robbie, pick up your cross and follow me. Learn, pick up your cross and follow me. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. What did we just read there? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses and forfeits himself? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory and glory of the Father and the glory of, and of the holy angels. Pick up your cross and follow me. So with that being said, let me ask you something. When did you die? I'm getting some funny looks. When did you die? Say again. At water baptism. Is it not dying to self? Yeah. What does the Word of God say? No longer I, but Christ. No longer I. It's not Ivan anymore. But it needs to be Jesus. Jesus in me. So what is shining through? What am I reflecting? What am I being? Who am I being? Am I being the old Ivan? Or am I being Jesus? Do we see that in ourselves? Do we see that in ourselves? When you look in the mirror in the morning while you're brushing your teeth. Does the world see Jesus? Am I truly a reflection of Him? We are only as strong as we spend time in the Word and in prayer. That's it. I'm only as strong as the time I'm spending in the Word of God and in prayer. And if I'm not feeding on this, and if my sustenance is not coming from this, where is it coming from? From energy bars. From TV, Facebook. I'd like us all to turn to Joshua 1 verse 8. We all know the story of Joshua, that he was to take the people into the promised land. But let's see what verse 8 says. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way, what? Prosperous. And then you will have what? Good success. Sure. Meditate on this day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. And then he goes on to say, be strong and courageous. He tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. So in the front of the book of Joshua, there's an intro. It's not going to be on the screen. I'm not sure if all your Bibles have an intro, but I'd just like to read something there for you. The five books of Moses anticipated the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham regarding the promised land. Now, either about 1400 or 1220 BC, through a string of military victories under Joshua, Israel conquered the land and divided it. They conquered the land and divided it among the 12 tribes. In these battles, it became evident that God fights for his people when they are strong and courageous. In these battles, it became evident that God fights for his people when they are strong and courageous, and put their full trust in him. Sure. God fights for us when we are strong and courageous and we put our full trust in him. And strong and courageous is mentioned quite a few times in the book of Joshua. Joshua 1 verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving them, to the people of Israel. Moses died, and God commands Joshua, listen, I want you to take all these people and go into the promised land. When the people left Israel, they had a word. What was that word? I'm taking you into a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. That was a prophetic word. That was a word for those people when they left Egypt. And so many things happened in their wanderings in the desert. And the generation passed away. And God commands Joshua to take them now into the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. There were things that they had to do But God commanded Joshua, let not this law depart from you. Meditate on it day and night. And then you will have what great success. Great success. And in the same way, as God called us individually, we will have great success when we are meditating on His Word. So when they left Israel, was the task too big or too hard? What happened? Did they see the promise? Was there a fulfillment after they left? No. We've got just one shot at this. And we need to be walking in revelation of Him. And I want to ask you this morning, I'm speaking to myself. Do we know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? For many of us, God's spoken to all of us. Many of us, we've had prophetic words. Has it become too big or too hard? Or have we fixed eyes? Have you fixed your eyes on Jesus? Through His Word. Meditating on the Lord day and night. If I don't know Jesus for myself, I cannot walk in this life without Him. This is where the tacky meets the tarmac. John 6, verse 52 to 58. Before I read that, those verses, you know, we can, and we know we're falling short. Maybe we can just take a scripture and just write on a piece of paper and pluck it on the fridge. Or quickly find a piece of scripture and take it and pluck it on my car's bumper. Is that going to help me? And I was thinking last night, I wonder if Peter and Paul had donkeys. If they had a donkey. Maybe they did. I don't know. But you can imagine Peter or Paul riding a donkey. And they've got this sticker plucked on the back. Honk if you love Jesus. There's a very big difference to meditating on the Word and spending time with Jesus to just taking something and just quickly sticking it on, hoping and praying that that's going to make a do it for me. There are no shortcuts. There is no shortcut. Then the Jews disputed amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, You have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Let's go back again. What does it say? My flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in them. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread that the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. If I want to be strong and courageous, what am I feeding on? What did he command Joshua? Be strong and courageous, but meditate on my law day and night. You'll have great success, it'll go well with you. John 6, verse 1 to 3. So after Jesus fed the 5,000, you all know the miracle of when he multiplied the fish and the bread. And when that was all done, after this, Jesus went away to another side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Let's go to verse 25. Now they went to look for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate your full of the loaves. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Do not work for food that perishes." Are we looking to Jesus for the wrong reasons? Are we running after him? Am I running after him because I truly love him? Or am I running after him because he can do this and this and this and this and this for me? When God created fish, he spoke to the sea. If you're reading the book of Genesis, when God created fish, he spoke to the sea. When God created the trees, he spoke to the earth. When God wanted to create man, he turned to himself. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness." If I take fish out of the water, what's going to happen to it? It's going to die. If I take a tree out of the soil, what's going to happen to it? It's going to die. Likewise, when we are disconnected from God, when man is disconnected from God, he dies. God is our natural environment. We were created to live in his presence. We have to be connected to him, because it's only in him that life exists. We are created in his image. John, you're created in his image. We are created in his image. Let that sink in this morning. Let's see if you've got the right answer to this. Is it about working for God? Or is it about working with God? Which one's correct? Is it working for God or working with God? It's when we allow God to first work Christ in us. So when I'm allowing God to work Christ in me, then I can go out and tell people about Jesus by revelation and experience. When I'm allowing him to work Christ in me, man, I'm going to walk in revelation and experience. I want to ask you this morning, if you're not going to Jesus, then who are you going to? Where are you getting your sustenance from? Is it the Bible? I can remember many years ago when Ray McCauley was preaching, he was ministering, and he stopped. And he said, is Jesus enough for you? That's it. Is Jesus enough for you? And you know, things don't always go according to the way that we plan or what we think. I know in our walk with the Lord, now we've planned many things. And in many ways, it didn't go the way that we planned. But if I look back in the ways that God has taken us, God's ways are better. And we've grown so much in the following of Jesus, when I'm following in his footsteps and I'm not just wandering out there on a walkabout. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Stand up. Let's be counted for him now in this season. Let's make a difference. That when you come in your next Sunday, you're going to run in here and you're going to say, you know what? You know what happened? You know what happened through the week? This person got healed. This person got saved. My family member gave their life to Jesus. How did that happen? How did all of this happen? Because I was being strong and courageous. You know, Job had a hedge around him and the devil couldn't touch him. He was prosperous. Everything that he did, there was great success in it. Joshua protected him. God protected Joshua and the people of Israel. That great success. Because this, Jesus came first. And this word was deep in their hearts. It was everything. It was their everything. Can we have that picture back up on the wall? Do you recognize? I know he's got his back towards you, but do you recognize that person? No. John's pointing to me. So there's a place in Clarence that we go to quite often through the year, and it's become really special to me. And I'm not just saying this because it's real. God's presence in that place is so real. And often when we get there, I'd climb up to the top of that yellow mountain. It overlooks Clarence. And I'd go there just to be quiet and to spend time with Jesus. And if you look at that photograph there, that picture, there's nobody else there with me. I know somebody had to take the picture. Many actually took it. But when we climb in that mountain, it's you and Jesus. You stand before him. I can't do it for you. Mark can't do it. Nobody can do it for you. You stand before Jesus. And you know, climbing a mountain is not always easy. It's not. It's difficult. But you know what? When you get to the top, the reward is so great. It's an awesome feeling and an awesome experience. Why? Because I can see things that I couldn't see at the bottom. I can see there. I can see far, far and wide. And it's such a nice feeling. And that's what happens when I'm walking up there, when we are walking up there with Jesus. We can see. And we experience things that we wouldn't experience down here. Be strong and courageous. I want to leave that with you this morning. Be strong and courageous for Jesus. And let not this word depart from you, but meditate on it day and night. Meditate on it day and night. Amen. Thank you, worship team. And before we sing that one last song before we close this morning, I was just sent a message now on my phone, and I'm going to read it to you, and then as a family, if we can just stand together, we can pray. Nicolette Gardner, who is online watching from a hospital bed, sent a greeting to all online. And I'd like us if we can pray for her. Father, we thank you, Lord, that there is no distance in prayer. And Lord, when the body of Christ stands together in unity, Father, I thank you that as Nicolette is laying in that hospital bed, Father, that you are with her. And Lord, that in that bed that she'd experience the touch of Jesus. Father, that she'd experience your touch right now. Right now. And we declare a miracle over that physical body. We declare a supernatural miracle over you right now in Jesus' name. It is well with you. You are healed in Jesus' name. You are healed in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for your peace which surpasses all understanding, that would mount God over our heart and mind this morning. That you would know, Lord, that you are with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, Nicolette. Amen. Thank you, Donovan. Let's all stand. Let's sing this one last song before we close.
Love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me all my days. I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, I will sing the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing the goodness of God. Your voice, you have led me through the fire, the darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, yes, I will sing the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing the goodness of God. Yeah, I'm gonna sing the goodness of God.
Yes, thank you, Jesus, that we'll sing of your goodness. That we'll sing of your goodness, Father. And that would be you, precious Jesus, in a dark and in a lost world, Lord. That would rise up in this hour to be strong and courageous for you. Father, we thank you that you are our everything, that you are our victory, that you are our peace, that you are our joy. You are our strength, you are our provider, you are our healer. And we give you all the glory and all the honor this morning. We love you, Jesus. And everybody said, amen.